Mr. K, Reel 3. You're just saying about news of the war.
Oh, yes, we were only getting their version of what's happening. For the last 12 months, the peace talks were going on, and that we found very frustrating, that they weren't actually fighting anymore, according to what the Chinese said. They were just fighting over the table. And we were stuck there until they sorted their differences. And again, we only ever heard their side of the story. But you never got any outside news now.
Did anybody contemplate escape, do you know?
I have no idea.
Did you?
No.
Why not?
Well, you've got to remember that not only were we in an extremely unfriendly alien country, we didn't look anything like a Korean at all. We were far taller than them. There were no growing crops or anything to live off from, you know, that you got in Europe, anything like that. I know that the one or two officers tried to escape, but nobody escaped. I mean, when I say you've got to realise it, I mean, don't visualise a German prisoner of war camp. We just lived in a village. There was no barbed wire, there was no visible sign from the outside that we were even prisoner of war camp. But there were, whereas probably a German prisoner of war camp would have, a battalion of men going, we had thousands of Chinese troops all the way around, but they were all full of Chinese. I mean, you could have just walked out of the actual camp itself, and you just walked out, you wouldn't have got there far.
Was it a mixture of nationalities in the camp?
No. We were all together British, but there were some Americans next door. We could actually visit them. They had their camp and we had our own.
Did you visit them?
Oh, no.
How did you get on with each other?
Extremely well. I mean, you've got to remember, they'd had a terrible, terrible time, because most Americans had been captured in the winter. And Americans had a much softer existence than us, and they were dying at a rate of about 5 a day when they first got to the camp. They were in a bad way. But those that survived were those aren't they, very nice people. Because as time went on, we used to have concerts. So, of course, the Americans would put a show on, and we would put a show on, and you'd go and see each other's shows. Sounds quite similar, doesn't it?
What was your show?
Oh, I believe it was called... Well, I know the opening song was Walking in the Park on Monday, but it was sort of, what would you call it? A mixture of sketches and comedy and... The Americans used to do a lot of this steel guitar playing.
Did the Chinese discriminate between the British and the Americans and other nationalities?
They were extremely anti-American. They were not so much anti-United Nations, it was the Americans. They detested the Americans. Everything was the American fault.
Did any of your comrades die in the camp?
No. One of my friends that came from the same town as me died when he came home, but nobody I knew died in a camp there. There were some deaths, but I didn't know anyone.
Did you have any reading matter at all?
Oh yes. Well,
apart from their stuff?
I believe there were one or yes, yes, there were one or two books floating about. Can't remember what they were called. Yes, there were definitely. You see, as things got better, they then started to bring in things like books, musical instruments, I don't think they had cricket bats, but they had football, definitely. Odd things like that. They were obviously, they could see that the war was going to end sometime, obviously. And you could tell that they were trying to make a good impression on us. That when we went, obviously, their intention was when we went back to England, that we would spread the good word of socialism. That was obvious there, Ken, so that gradually things got better and better.
Were you ever punished by the captors?
Mm-hmm.
Or any of your comrades? Were any of them punished? What happened when you were released? What was the
problem? That was rather funny, really, because we were marched onto the square and told that the war was over. And there was absolute silence. There was no shouting and cheering. There was just perfect silence. And we all went back, obviously, a lot of talk. And then somebody had said they'd seen trucks passing down the road with prisoners of war on the back. And then the next thing we heard was our cooks had been told to prepare thousands of biscuits. And this was our food for the journey, or party. And eventually the time came and we loaded ourselves onto these lorries, Chinese trucks. And we travelled all the way up to the Chinese border, all the way up to the north of Korea. But they put us on a train. It was composed of cattle trucks whitewashed on the inside, which actually are ideal for travelling because you can wander about in this sort of environment, you know, as opposed to sitting in the carriage. Don't ask me how, I can't remember how long on that train, but eventually we ended up at Panmunjom. where we waited, and every day a certain number of names would be called out and they would be released. And I think I'd been there about 2 days when my name was called out. And they got on these trucks again and took us into Panmunjom village, and there was this parade ground with a white line down the middle, and that half was the Chinese half and this half was the United Nations. And as they called your name out, got off the lorry and walked over the white line. When I walked over, this brigadier was standing there and he shook me by the hand and he welcomed me back. He gave me a packet of 20 players, and he told me the test score, and I knew I was back.
What condition were you in by the time you were liberated?
Not bad at all. as I say, the conditions had improved, the food had improved. Anyway, I wouldn't tell you about it at all. Not as fit as, you know, beforehand, but not bad at all. Really.
Did you have any long-lasting effects?
No. No, the only effect I felt was when I was out of the army and I was at home, every time I had to go out of the home, I lived down the country lane, and every time I walked in, I was sick, physically sick, in the hedge bottom. And this went on for about a fortnight.
Why should that have occurred?
I have no idea whether it was the excitement or the, I don't know, but I was physically sick. But I had no real long-term effects now. In fact, a lot of my friends did have effects. They turned to drink and you know, they had a hard time when they came out, really adjusting. But I just had my PVs off and started working.
So that was the end of your army career, was it?
End of my army career.
What opinion of the Chinese and their system did the experience leave you with?
Very difficult question. Very difficult question. It struck me that they were struggling to do something that they couldn't possibly succeed in. In other words, they were trying to convert a British soldier from what he was to what he could possibly be. And it just would never have worked. If we'd have stopped there for 50 years, I don't think it would have worked. They did send me a book after I got home called Thinking Soldiers. This is more propaganda.
Who sent you?
Chinese.
So they had your address in England?
They had all our addresses in England.
What did you do with the Thinking Soldier book?
I don't know, lying about it somewhere.
Did you read it?
Oh, yeah. All the stories of the good life by Americans as prisoner of war, you know. How they'd seen the light and all this sort of thing.